sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm going to pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm going to moan when the Spirit says moan. I'm going to shout when the Spirit says shout. But I'm not going to eat when the Spirit says eat. That's what Peter said. That's what Peter said. Even though God said, even though the Spirit said, kill and eat, Peter didn't want to do it. Now what was going on? Peter had come to Jerusalem, and the circumcised believers, the Jewish Christians there in Jerusalem, had asked, what were you doing? Going and converting Gentiles. What are you doing? Going and converting Romans and Gentiles. What are you doing? These people don't deserve to become Christians. These people aren't Jews. These people can't convert and become Christians. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak to them. What are you doing? Making Christians of non-Jews. And Peter's answer, he gives a story. He tells the story about how he was in prayer in Joppa. He was praying and he has this vision. And in this vision, he sees this great big picnic blanket come down from heaven. And on it is all this unkosher food. Pork. Sausage, sausage links, sausage patties. Bacon. Ooh. I like the Simpson characters, and especially what's his name? Homer. Homer goes, bacon. Oh. And he drools. That's me. Bacon. Oh, bacon is wonderful, and there's nothing that isn't improved by adding bacon to it. I bet you anything bacon wrapped around ice cream would be good.
Amen.
Amen, brother. But there's pork on it, and there's shrimp on it, and there's crab on it, and there's all sorts of good unkosher food. You know, fried catfish. Yum, yummy, yum, yum, yum. Shrimp wrapped up in bacon and fried or grilled. Ooh, that's good. Good unkosher food. Bacon. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. Good am I making you hungry? Good unkosher food. And he looks at this food and he hears God say, Peter, get up and eat. And my friends, it's not just a statement like, would you like to get up and eat, Peter? Would you like to kill and eat? Would you like? No, it's the imperative. It's a command. You shall get up and eat. Peter, it's an order. Get up and eat. And instead of doing what he's supposed to do, which is, yes, sir, he says, oh, no. Literally, he says, by no means. Megenoita in Greek. By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. Oh, really? I'm glad he said entered and not come out. Because remember that those three denials? I do not know him. I do not know him. I swear I do not know him. That's profane coming right out of his mouth. But here he says, nothing profane or unclean has never gone into my mouth. No, Lord. He just received a command. No, Lord, far be it, by no means. For nothing profane or unclean has never gone into my mouth. Ooh. Peter? So God replies, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Literally, what God has cleansed, you must not call profane. Ooh. And you think, you know, Peter would get it. Oh, well, okay, yes, Lord, I hear and obey. No. Peter, get up, kill, and eat. No, Lord, by no means. Nothing unclean has ever gone past my lips. He had to do it three times. God had to tell him three times. Peter, get up, kill, and eat. Remember those chants we sometimes do from time to time? It's been a long time since we've done it here. But remember, God is good. And all the time. It's been too long. Let's do that again. God is good. And all the time. Again, God is good. And all the time. Let's have a new one. Here's a new one. I say, get up, Peter. And you reply, kill and eat. All right? Get up, Peter. Get up, Peter. Get up, Peter. That doesn't quite work, does it? By no means. But this does work. What God has made clean, what God has cleansed, you must not call profane. And this is not about food, friends. I mean, we get stuck on the food stuff. I know I do. And I'm sure Peter did too. I mean, here he has this pig on a blanket and he's told, eat it. And I don't eat pork. You know the joke about the Roman Catholic priest and the Jewish rabbi? They're sitting there chatting with each other and the Roman Catholic priest says, hey, rabbi, I understand that Jews can't eat pork. Have you ever eaten pork? The rabbi says, yes, Jews can eat pork, but yeah, I've had pork. And the priest says, it was really yummy, wasn't it? He goes, yeah, pork is really delicious. It's just yummy. But you can't eat it. Nope, can't eat it. Tell me, Father, I understand Roman Catholic priests can't get married and have sex. And the priest says, yeah, that's true. Roman Catholic priests can't get married and can't have sex. Huh, you ever had sex? The priest says, well, yes, I've had sex. And the rabbi says, better than pork, isn't it? I mean, it must have been really difficult for Peter looking at that pig on the blanket and saying, I can't eat it, and yet hearing God telling him to do something that throughout Scripture he's been told not to do. He's got multiple scriptural prohibitions against eating pork. Thou shalt not eat it. And yet, he's eating it. He's been told to eat it in his dream. And he's told three times to eat it. It's not about the food, friends. It's about what's getting ready to happen next. Because he then has come to him, these three guys, from Caesarea. And Caesarea is a great big Gentile city, the headquarters of the Roman occupation there in Judea. And they come to him and they say, please come to us, for we've been told in a dream to come and get you. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make distinction between them and us. I mean, these are Gentiles. These aren't Jews who aren't Christians yet. These are Gentiles. And the Spirit tells Peter to go with them and not make distinction between them and us. That's a great big no-no. You don't associate with Gentiles. Gentiles are unclean people, profane people. They talk strange. They wear strange clothing. They do strange things. They have strange cultural practices. You don't do anything with Gentiles. That's a great big no-no. And yet, the Spirit, just like the Spirit in the dream told him to kill and eat all this unkosher food. So here, the Spirit tells him to go with them. To go with them and make no distinction between them and us. And he tells the Jewish Christian leadership there in Jerusalem that these other six people who were with him at that time, they were with him then and they went with him. And they entered the man's house, this Gentile's house, And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter, and he will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved. And as I began to speak, as he was preaching about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. Just as the Holy Spirit fell upon us there on Pentecost, so also the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? Who was I that I could say no to God? Who was I that I could say no to God when the Holy Spirit had descended upon these people as I was preaching about Jesus? Who could I say, oh God, I'm sorry, you just made a great big mistake. You can't baptize them in the Holy Spirit yet because I haven't yet baptized them in water. Oh God, no, you made a big mistake here. These guys here are Gentiles. They've got to stop being Gentiles and start being Jews. They got to stop eating unkosher food and start eating kosher food. They got to stop living their lives as Gentiles and start living their lives as Jews. These Gentile men, they've got to get circumcised first before you, Holy Spirit, can come upon them. I mean, Peter gets it. How could I possibly say that to God? I can't. Even though you Gentile, although you Jewish leader Christians would want me to say that, no, I can't. These Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit. How can I say no to God? Got to hand it to Peter. He said no three times in the dream. No to that pig in a blanket. Three times. But then he said yes. And he went. And he preached. And the Holy Spirit descended upon these Gentiles. And they became part of the covenant community of faith, even though they were still Gentiles. And that's a great big scandal, friends. In the New Testament church, early on, to be a Christian, one had first to be a Jew. Because Christianity was a sect or a denomination of Judaism. You had to first be a Jew. If you were a man, you had to be circumcised. You had to obey the dietary regulations. You had to wear clothing of only one kind of thread. You had to attend to all the feast days and all the high holy days of the temple. You had to be a good Jew to be a good Christian. Until this happened. Till the Holy Spirit showed Peter, that it's not about being a Jew. It's about hearing the gospel, receiving the gospel, accepting the gospel, saying yes to Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Not being a Jew, not obeying any regulations or rules, but following Jesus. Why is it then, for the last 2,000 years, pretty much, the church has majored in requiring people to follow regulations and rules and books of discipline and canon law? Why has the church said, okay, you can be a Christian, but then you've got to change. Then you've got to do this. Then you've got to do that. Or worse, we're sorry, but you can't be part of us because you have done this, done that, or done this other. Why, my brothers and sisters, has the church majored in establishing rules and regulations? Jane, you know about rules and regulations. You've been through the district committee and ordained ministry. You've had to go through all these hoops. You've had to write all these papers, answer all these questions, appear before this board of a bunch of, quite frankly, overfed, arrogant clergy like me. Amen. Amen? Thank you, sister. And we get to pass on whether or not you get to become clergy based on the rules that we've got in the book of discipline. And yet the Holy Spirit has already called you, has already anointed you, has already empowered you. That's true for a lot of us here. The Holy Spirit has anointed us and empowered us and enabled us to profess the faith of Jesus Christ. And yet church rules and regulations keep us from doing what God calls us to do. That's what the church does. That's what the institutional church does. No wonder the world is looking at the institutional church and says, "Why do we want to have anything to do with you?" I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm going to pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm going to moan when the Spirit says moan. Gosh, I want to do that sometimes. I want to shout. I'm going to shout when the Spirit says shout. But I'm not going to eat when the Spirit says eat. And I'm not going to obey the Spirit of the Lord when the Spirit of the Lord tells me to do something that breaks the rules or regulations of my church. I'm sorry. Salvation and sanctification is not about keeping rules and regulations. It's not about following doctrines established by a church or affirming them in affirmations of faith, as beautiful as they are. Salvation and sanctification is about hearing the call of the Holy Spirit. It's about proclaiming the good news of the gospel. It's about showing the love of Jesus to others. It's about living a life of faith and showing that faith to others and living your faith in accordance with the will of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit residing in you. Oh, Greg, don't you know there are things like unspirit-filled Christians and then there are spirit-filled Christians? No, there's no such thing as a non-spirit-filled Christian. All believers in Jesus have the Spirit of God within them. All believers and followers of Christ have the Holy Spirit residing in them. And we are called to obey the Spirit of the Lord. And that is a walk of faith, my friends. And that's what Peter had to do. It's what Peter finally did. After arguing with God in his vision, then he obeyed. And he heard the commandment, "Do not call clean, do not call profane that which I have called clean. Do not call unclean that which I have cleansed." And yet the church is constantly doing that. Constantly calling unclean that which God has called clean. Well, Greg, they might not act like we want them to act. They may not have the documentation we want them to have. They may not speak the kind of language that we want them to speak. They may not be citizens, or they may not have jobs, or they may not cook their food the way we want them to cook their food, or they may not love the people we want them to love, or we may not like how and what they do or who they vote for. Do not call unclean, profane, that which I have cleansed. That which I have cleansed, do not call unclean. My sisters and brothers, we are called to be reaching out to all. Driving around this community the other day, driving the streets back around here, I was noticing a whole lot of things. Houses and people out in their yards doing things. And I was thinking to myself, how many of these children of God go to church on Sunday morning? Now, some of them go to mosque on Friday. But how many of them go to church on Sunday? How many of them have a house of faith to call theirs? How many of them have a community of faith to live in and to express their love of God within and to serve within and serve others. How many of them have a place to go to receive the means of grace in worship and prayer and scripture study and Holy Communion? How many of these people are without a family of faith, are lacking a place to worship? I don't know, but I've seen the demographics of the region. And the demographics tell us that less than 40% of the people in this area have any connection at all with a church, a synagogue, or a mosque. Less than, do you hear that? Less than 40% have any connection at all with church. Well, there's nobody in our community that we can invite to church. There are thousands and thousands of people whom, quite frankly, the church calls unclean that we need to be welcoming in to the family of God. Ooh, well, you know, they're going to have to change. They're going to have to stop doing some things and start doing some other things. No. Make no distinction between them and us, the Spirit told Peter. Make no distinction. Instead, speak the word to them. And when he did, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. We are called to speak the word to them, to the people outside this building, without regard, without distinction, without concern for who they are or what they are. We are called to speak and live the Word of God where they can see it, they can hear it, they can know it, they can then believe it and receive it. And we are called to welcome them, all of them, into the family of God. Ooh, that might mean we have to change a couple of things that we do. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Maybe God is calling us to change a few things. Ooh, that makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. And eating that pig in a blanket made Peter uncomfortable. But eventually, he heard the word of God. He obeyed what God told him to do. He went to Caesarea. He spoke the word. And the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard. May we obey God likewise and follow the Spirit of the Lord and speak and live the word so that others might hear, receive, and have the Holy Spirit fall upon them. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.